I want to welcome. Do you want to welcome your wife, Josh? You go ahead and introduce. Yoo-hoo, Shannon. Shannon has been through a lot in the last month. It's month, whatever, long. Anyway, it's so good to have you. Shannon was up helping us out with Josh up at the Roosevelt when we did the Halloween time. Anyway, it's so good to have you. I am going to be speaking. Pastor Powell is in the house, but he had me here to share tonight. And so, God, let's pray, and we'll start with that. So, God, we just come before you, and we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We just bow our hearts before you tonight as we come into your presence, and we really are determined and purposeful tonight, God, just to put everything behind us so that the day is brought, the weights and the thoughts and the different things that we've ran into, but we just look to you. We come to your throne of grace, and we just thank you, God, for the access that you've given through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have access to come right to the throne of grace boldly, where we can obtain mercy and grace to help in our times of need. So we just love you, and we thank you, and I pray that you'll just bless this message tonight. And that you would communicate through this vessel here. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I just wanted to give you a little report that the church, you know, last time I told you about Pastor Joseph in Cambodia, which is the church that we support, I told you that we had raised $2,200. It went up to like $7,500. And he has a farm now. A cashew nut farm, and so he just sends his thanks. I'll put together a little presentation in the next couple of weeks where you can just see what's going on. But if you weren't here, we put out the need that Pastor Joseph wanted, really had a need that God had presented. He had presented to him in his church this cashew farm, and where they could, it would be a long-term process where they'd grow cashew trees, grow cashew nuts, and then harvest them and have it support a good portion of their ministry. And so it's quite something, and God raised the money up, and he's got this, I think, it's 5 hectares. If anybody know hectare? Anyway, 5 hectares now of land. I think it's 2.5 acres per hectare. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, almost 13 acres. So it's amazing. And so we just want to, say thank you on behalf of Pastor Joseph. So today, Rick just asked me what the title of the message was, and I said, what's the title of the message? I do have a title. And the acronym is, here we go, I'm writing it down now. It's BUS, bus. And it's business, urgency, and stewardship. And that's just the thought of the night. Business, urgency, and stewardship. You got that, Rick? Yeah, okay, good. And that's what I want to talk about. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Powell had spoken a message in Matthew 25 about the talents. Does everybody remember that? It was on the talents, and it was basically the nobleman went away for a period of time there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 15 and on. He went away, and he had given these stewards talents, and each one according to his ability. And every one of us has been given a certain ability, but to each one according to his ability, he gave them these talents. And he went away and told them that, I'll be back. No, yeah, forget about that. I know what you're thinking when I say, I'll be back. But I'll be back. And so there was some urgency that was created there, right? The master's coming back. And so tonight, I'm just trying to think about where we might start, because there's so many different portions tonight that we could speak to, different portions. I think what we'll do, let's go to Psalm 90, because that's actually where I started this morning, very early. It was in Psalm 90. And this particular psalm is a psalm that was written by Moses. This is probably one of the oldest psalms in the book of Psalms, the 150 psalms that we have. And it was written by Moses. And most people believe that it was written right at the end of the 40 years. Most scholars believe that. Whatever. It could have been written earlier, but most believe it was written sometime around the time where they were getting ready to cross over. But what had happened in Numbers chapter 20 is God said, Moses, you're not going in to the promised land. Right? You're not going in. Why? What did he do? Yeah, he was disobedient to God. God told him, we're going to bring the congregation together. You're going to speak and water's going to come out of this rock. Well, he came and he got mad at his people and he smashed the rock with his staff. And he was disobedient to the Lord. And so this post that time, Moses is considering this Psalm 90, if you read through it, we don't have time tonight, but if you read through it, Psalm 90 just shows us Moses' ponderings and what he had thought. And I want to read verse 8, which we're all familiar with. It says, is that where I want to be? Actually, hold on. verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the whole portion here is Moses looking backwards. And by the way, he looked at the hardship that he had been through. He looked at the judgment of God. 40 years in the wilderness. There's consequences for disbelief, isn't there? There's consequences when we do things our way. Moses had a little bit of a problem in that area. I mean, you know, when he killed the Egyptian, by the way. So he's reflecting back in the early part of Psalm 90. And he kills this Egyptian thinking he was doing God a favor and helping God out, right? I mean, it was... And God kind of checked him on those things, and there was long delay. God wasn't done with him, but there was delay. And then we have this time, I'm giving you a little bit of a breakdown of the entire Psalm 90 here, but it's Moses looking at the past. He looks at the wrath of God. He looks at the difficulty of life that he's witnessed. That's the first part. Then the second part is a view of the present. And if you read through Psalm 90, that's your homework, is to go through Psalm 90 and read it through. But he goes through and he explains how the brevity of life. That's why I kind of would lean towards this being towards the end part of his life. And he's looking at the brevity of life and how God, you know, puts us on this earth and we are born and we are blown away as the wind, you know, basically as a blade of grass. We are here and we're gone tomorrow is the concept that we also see in the New Testament. And so he's looking at that present, like I'm here, but I'm not here for much longer. And then the rest of the psalm after, and again, we don't have time to get into it because I don't think that's where we need to put an emphasis tonight. But he goes on in verse 14 and on till the end of the chapter, talking about just satisfy us with your mercy. And Lord, let me rejoice and be glad of all our days, the days that were left. Moses didn't have a lot of time left. Aaron was about to die, right? The dispensation of Moses and Aaron was about to come to an end. And this was not a small thing for Israel or for the little nation here. And so so there's this reflection that Moses was doing, and it's good reflect. Boy, it's good to reflect and to look and to see what God has called us to and what kind of urgency there is and the fact that there is business to be done. And you know what? The beauty of this whole thing, even after Moses was not allowed to enter in, he still, the grace and mercy of God, he still had something for Moses to do as he wrote these, as he wrote this, this psalm here. There was still things to do. We have things to do. I don't know where you're at in your life, but we have things to do. And when Pastor Powell spoke that message a couple of weeks ago on the talents, I got just stirred up. And I'm like, I'm getting old. And I've been here and I've been there and I've done this and I've done that. And I'm not done yet. And God has a purpose and a calling on my life. And this is the challenge I want to give us. What's the acronym again? BUS. Right? Business. God's given us business to do. And that's one of the things that Pastor brought out is he gave these talents out and he said, go do business with these things. And God has given us these roles in life to be fruitful. We see it really all throughout Scripture that God has called his people to be industrious in the plan of God. You are called specifically. You've been given a gift. You know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he has gifted you and me. And he has sent us out. I think Satan's greatest accomplishment today is to make the body of Christ, individual members, feel like they have no purpose or significance, that you're just kind of floating around the outskirts and you don't have business to do because you're insignificant. What a lie that is. And I want to highlight that. That's such a lie. He has business for us, each and every one of us, to do. And that's what I want to do tonight is just to kind of highlight, go through the scriptures and just kind of prove this out, just to give affirmation and just to show us just a few. These were just a few things off the top of my head where God just shows us that he's given us business to do, right? And there's an urgency to do it. And there's a stewardship, in other words, a responsibility that we all have. And I want to preface this to say that you can't do it on your own, because you're going to come up short. Last Sunday, Pastor, you were speaking about like our own, doing things in our own abilities, our own righteousness. It always gets messed up really bad, right? And we start to judge things and assess things wrongly, and we become self-righteous and so on. So I want to preface this in saying that the business that God's called us to do is a business that he is going to give us the energy to do. In Philippians chapter 2:13, he gives us the will to do the business that he's given us to do. And then I love this. He's given us the will. We all have that, but then he's given us the to-do. In other words, he has given me the wheels to run this race, to walk this walk, to do this business. He has enabled me to do it. He has enabled you to do it. It's not going to be of your own energy and your own, you know, expenditure. It's going to be by his grace that he has called you. Faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it, right? He's going to do it. And that's, I want to just preface the whole thing tonight with that. And that means that we have this amazing opportunity to serve God and to be industrious and to produce fruit. And so that is what it's all about. Let's get on the bus, right? Let's do it. Let's get on this bus. I love the picture of Jesus Christ. Doesn't this baffle you? One of the first things we see with Jesus Christ in Luke in his early ministry at 12 years old, what do we see going on in Jerusalem? We see everybody taking off. They're done with their sacrifices. They're done making their offerings. They're going home. And where's Jesus? He can't be found. He didn't leave the altar. He didn't leave the place that that at top of the Zion. He didn't leave the place that God had called him to. And what did he? And so his parents went back, found him. What are you doing? What in the world are you doing? What was his answer? I must be about my father's business. At 12 years old, he understood the call that he had. We are to let this mind be in us, by the way, that was also in Christ Jesus. We have this job, this business. I must be about my Father's business. And I again, I'm going to reflect back to that message because I got pumped up. And through this grace and Holy Spirit, just like, I'm just not done. Somebody can call me old. I'm around young people a lot and they call me old. I'm glad I don't look at myself all day in the mirror because I might think I was old too. But I'm not done. We're not done. And we have this job. So look at these things. Look at the business that God's called us to. I'm just going to show you all the illustrations that this was probably in about a half an hour period of time. I looked at the business. We have, or you might say the roles that God has illustrated in the scriptures. And first thing, by the way, I go all the way back to Genesis, and we look at what God wanted to do for his people, Adam and Eve. He gave them a huge garden, and he said, I want you to take care of this place. I want to give this to you. I want you to go, and I want you to become my gardener for this huge garden. I'm not getting into the whole tree that we're not supposed to take care of, right? The one that we leave alone, the one we don't partake. We're not getting into that tonight. I'm just saying in Genesis 2, 8 through 18, God said, here's a garden for my two that I've got on this earth so far, and I want you to just go, and I want you to do something. I want you to cultivate it in Genesis 2:15, and I want you to keep it. It's yours. Now, isn't that like pretty amazing that he would give them that? How many people have gardens? Raise your hand. You know, you like your garden? Yeah, you like your garden. Most people that have gardens like their gardens. They all, you know, they go through struggles, and I've heard all that. I don't really have a garden right now. Brenda and I, we're going to do one soon, but we're watching all you other gardeners so we can be really, you know. But these gardens, they're a thrill. They're like God saying, I can actually bear fruit. God is using me as a joint participant in his business. Sorry, this thing's really distracting for me. He is using me as a joint participant in the business, in his business. And he's saying, just go do it. Use your own judgment in these areas and those areas and just garden, tend it, keep it, grow it. And that's number one business. That's like, that started way back then. And it shows, I believe it just shows God's heart that he doesn't want us being dormant and sitting around and doing nothing. He wants, he wants us moving. And he wants to use you and me. And this is never to be condemning. It's to kind of encourage us and help us to, you know, shake it off and wake up and really be, you know, seek God for the business that he has before us. So he says, listen, he gives these rules. He says, listen, here's, as Pastor mentioned last a couple weeks ago, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. There is a role here. There's a business, the watchful servant. God illustrates to us the business that he has at hand through the watchful servant. And he shows us and he tells us, I want there to be some urgency here. I'm going to come back. This nobleman is going to come back. And when he comes back, he wants them to have done something with the talents that they had been given, right? And he says, I'm not going to go through it, but he's like, here, work it. He go, trade, invest. Do it, you know, at least invest, right? The one guy that buried his one talent, he got in trouble, big trouble. You know what it was for? It's because he just thought, he had his perception of the master that he was a hard taskmaster. Wrong perception, by the way. But even the nobleman didn't get caught up. He just said, okay, if that's how your perception of me, why didn't you at least invest it and get a little return, right? There's this idea of like to be doing and be in the business of what God has for us. And there's an urgency there. Then we have the 10 virgins, by the way, if we back up a little bit, Matthew 25, 1 through 15, or 1 through 13, we have the bridegroom who's going to be coming, and we have the 10 virgins that are told to be ready, And because of the way that they did their wedding ceremonies, that's, if you ever get a chance to just do a little background on the Canaan weddings, it happened at these interesting times, and often it was at night. And so the 10 virgins were to have their lamps ready and be prepared and to have the oil ready to go so that the celebration could take place when the bridegroom came in. And so there is this kind of this business of the 10 virgins and their role and their job. And there's this urgency that's given there. And there's this stewardship that is basically go cut the wicks, find the oil. God will be faithful to give you the oil. Just go and search for the oil. And then you'll be ready, and it'll be a wonderful celebration. So you see there's the business, right, of the 10 virgins. There's an urgency. Be ready, because it's going to come at night when you're not sure when, right? And the sun, by the way, that's Jesus Christ. The end of that portion in verse 13 is, you know, the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you don't know. I don't know. So be ready. And it can be hard being ready, right, and watching. But there's such reward in just going forward and being diligent. You know, and God says, I will not be mocked. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will be blessed because there's a time coming. And it's gonna and you're going to reap reward. So you've got the 10 virgins. You've got the, how about this nice metaphor that, or analogy that we see? The race. The fight, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, listen, there is a business that I'm in, and that is just previous there in chapter 9. He says, basically, to the Jew, I'm a Jew, to the Gentile, I'm a Gentile. The business that he had was to reach people. And then he uses the metaphor, so we're in this fight that's taking place. And we're not to like just be careless, but we're to be very accurate with our punches, not just beating the air, but we're to be accurate in the fight as a boxer, right? And there's this urgency not to just be careless because we're in a match, and it's important. So out of the business of a boxer, there's an urgency not to be stupid with careless with my swings, you redeeming the time, right? Buying up, use it, not being careless. And there's this stewardship that I have in that. Same thing we see with the race in the same portion there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 26 or 29. And then we have at the same time, and I'm just paralleling, again, I hope you're seeing this, like we have a business to be doing. and it's manifest in all these different roles and the way that God keeps bringing these things up in Scripture. But in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, there's a race. We could be reading all these. I just think it would take a little while. I'm trying to just kind of get it. You can take notes or whatever. But there's a race being run. And I'm in this race, and you're in this race. And the race, there's a crown to be won. There's a crown, and there's this great cloud of witnesses watching. I get excited when I hear that. There is people in heaven rooting us on. I think Pastor John Graziano spoke about that on Thanksgiving night. There are spectators, and we're in this business of running a race, and there's going to be a reward at the end, and there's a crown to be given in chapter 9 and verse 25 of Hebrews, and he says, so cast off all the things that so easily beset you, you know, get yourself in a place where those things are behind you, whatever you got to do, right? And by the way, that's a whole nother message. What do we do to encourage each other? What do we do to get ourselves away from the things that so easily beset us? I tell you what, you be deliberate and you know that there's a business. God's got you in his business and he wants to use you in a mighty way. And so, and just don't forget that. And it's not the business of the world. It's not the cares of this world. It's being obedient as a servant to the master and just saying, I surrender. I'm not putting my family, my brother, my sister, my estate. None of those things are first in my life. I'm about the Father's business. And those things, I'll be a good steward of those things because I've got my priorities set straight. I can handle those things. I'll love my wife. You know, I've heard it, pastor preach it so many times. I'll love my wife way better because I'm rightly aligned to my master. I'm in the business, and I'm also able to manage well these things because I'm right in the flow. So we've got this race we're in. We got this fight we're in. We've got the principle of the servant that's watching over until the master gets back. We've got the wise builder, right? And the wise builder is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 14. And he's like, God is basically saying here that you got to be careful how you build. Just be careful how you build, because the day is coming. The day is coming. And the day is going to declare the work that you've done, the business you've been involved with. It's going to declare it. And God's gonna, and it's gonna be proven. I'm gonna give a word, by the way, where is that? John 14. I'm gonna give a word. I'm gonna give a logos for my stewardship and the business that God had me in. Remember, I want to come back at this point because I think sometimes right now we might start to get a little overwhelmed with the business. The business is God's business. I am being given God's grace to do it. God is giving me the wheels. He's giving me the power, the muscle to be involved with the business. It's not, you see, it's, so I'm just reminding us, because I think we have a propensity to get back, I've got to do this, and that's not where we're going tonight. I'm just saying God has a work. He wants you in it. He's ordained these things before the foundations of the earth, and we're just to simply walk in what he's foreordained, right? Where's that verse? Ephesians, anyway, he just says walk in it. Make your calling and election sure, right? He says you have this vocation in Ephesians 4:1, a vocation, and that is the God's business. My occupation is what I do for my vocation. It's like it supports me. And I watch some of you businessmen. I know Tyler's not here tonight, but I just watch you guys in the way you serve and you prioritize and you have your vocation straight and you let your occupation serve God. You don't serve your occupation. That's impressive. And that, by the way, that's something where the enemy wants to come in and have you serve your occupation and get totally off the business of God. And that's grieving when that happens. And I salute you guys, Mark. You know, there's so many, Pastor Midge, that all you guys that do the business of God, you know, I just salute you for that, Pastor Wheelock. Oh gosh, Pastor Wheelock, you know, so that you can be in the vocation of the calling, the business of what God's called us to. So we've got the builder there in 1 Corinthians 3:10. We have another builder, another role, another business that God kind of illustrates to us. And it's another builder, and it's one, this is in Luke 14, where it says, you know, what builder doesn't sit down first and count the cost of what's going on, urgency, right? There's an urgency, and what's the urgency about? That I don't like, just do things randomly and you know, just in a way that I don't have any real boundaries, and I'm just kind of wandering aimlessly in life. He says, what builder doesn't first sit down and take an account of what is going to be built? We're builders for God. And he says, do that, plan. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they sit down first and have a plan and have an agreement, right? I'm a builder. You're a builder. I'm giving you a lot, but I'm just saying, I'm painting a good picture though, is it not the picture there? That we are to be in God's business. He has roles. There's an urgency. There's an urgency. And there's a stewardship that is a blast to be involved in once I realize that I have a stewardship and I have a business and there's an urgency. It's an amazing thing. It's you want purpose and significance? Just kind of chew on this message tonight. and then you want to be more involved. Come to the School of Ministry classes. Learn about Jesus. Go out when the ministries go out to serve God. Serve the kids. Watch your gifts unfold, by the way. Watch it happen. It'll happen. You know, move forward. Be deliberate. Be urgent. Put those things that are besetting aside. And so we see that. And then by one of my favorite, it's a role. It's a little different. It's one that it's metaphorical, or it's an analogy, and that is that we are branches. Right? Jesus Christ is our vine. And he says, I want you to abide in me. That's the stewardship. Abide in me. How do we abide in him? Anybody? John chapter 15. I can't hear you because I abide in him through being obedient to the word of God. I'm united with Jesus Christ. I'm obedient to the word in John 15 in verse 8. And my stewardship is just to bring forth fruit. And you, God wants to use to bring forth fruit. Because you're in the business of God. And he really, Jesus Christ, wants to use you. By the way, that could be, I minister a lot to people that have, probably like Moses, I'm going to kind of come back to that now in Psalm 90, looking back on their life. They'll say, oh man, life's been hard. Boy, God means what he says. There's consequences to disobedience. And I'm tired. And that's what the psalm brings out, by the way. It's like this sigh of, life's been hard. And then he looks at the faithfulness of God, and he says, I actually like this verse 17 of Psalm 90. He says, actually in verse 16, it says, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And then it says in verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work. So work. There's a work here. There's a business of our hands upon us. Yes, the work of our hands, establish thou it. It's like, let us just do your work in these last days. Ecclesiastes, Solomon just said, the end of the matter is just this. Fear God. Obey his word. And I'm not going to add, I want to be careful here. But know that you're in the work of God. And he wants to use you. And that the time is short. Let's see time as more precious. These times are really interesting times, aren't they? We could start to quote some scripture now, and it just seems so much more relevant. I thought it was relevant 20 years ago, and now it's like, oh my gosh, you know, the night is far spent, right? The day is rapidly approaching. In Romans 13, when we're going to see Jesus face to face, and where he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You saw the business of God. You were industrious with what I gave you. Enter into my kingdom. Enter in. And God's going to just make that declaration. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's you and me. Moses was taking a big step back here and really looking and taking an inventory of what's left. And we think of, and by the way, you know, as far as just buying up the time in Ephesians 5:16, I'm redeeming the time, because I know the days are evil, and I've been given this work to do, and there's an urgency, and God has a specific stewardship that's been given to me. And I keep repeating that because that's bus, right? That's how we're going to remember the message tonight. Thank you, Rick, for asking for a title. Because it's BUS, it's business, it's urgency, it's stewardship, and it's under all held up by the grace of God, right? And so I kind of find myself in this place of I'm taking an inventory now, And I'm saying, I got this business. I have these gardens. I'm going to do some weeding. I'm going to have these gardens that God has given me in my life. I'm going to be that gardener, another role, another business, you know, that God helps us see a little clearer. And I understand, and I start to take an inventory. And we see this also in Revelation chapter 3 with the church at Sardis. Remember? And John is saying, hey, Sardis, you know, you got some things going on here. Your works are not all that great. There's some problems. I want you to wake up, and I want you to strengthen the things that remain. Because there's some things that are about that are about to die, right? So you gardeners, you go to it, and you start to raise up, you know, and give them a little more, fertilizer might kill them. You have to coach me on those things. I'm looking at Pastor Mitch and Roberta, because they're good farmers. And I don't know. I don't know how to do it, but it's like something needs to be done. And so that's why I went like this. It's like I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to strengthen the things that remain, because God is not done yet. And that's what Moses was thinking here in Psalm 9. God's not done. He's still not done. And I'm still his. And I'm still his possession. I might have made some screw-ups, but he ain't done with me. He's not done with you. You screwed up? You did? Really? So didn't I. We've all screwed up. And God's saying, I'm not done. Yeah, there's some things that look like they're about to die. Let's get some urgency back by the grace of God through taking advantage of the resources God's given us, the body of Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and prayer, Stacy's ministry, you know, who represents our prayer ministry. Strengthen the things that remain. Teach us to number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. That's what Moses was saying here. Just teach us to number our days. I've been doing that. My wife's been watching. She thinks I'm crazy sometimes, but, you know, I figure I got at least 24 years, Pastor. I don't know if that's okay, but 24. That takes me to 80-something. What's that? 58 plus 24? 82, right? I'm numbering them. I am numbering my days. By the way, everything beyond that's, you know, bonus and gravy. If I get to that, you know, if I don't get to that, I am going to be busy and about my Lord's business. And I'm going to be worried. And if I go down before that 24-year, I'm just kind of setting that as a little goal. I got 24 years. That's not long. I got a lot of 24s behind me. You know, it's not long. So I'll just close. Let's just close with this. God wants to use you in the business, you know. You're going to get definition as you go forward and you take advantage of the teaching and the classes. You're going to get more and more definition. There's nothing worse than being in a business you don't understand, right? That's why we get the word every day. I was a caddy one time, right? It was my first job outside of my paper route. I was like, yes, I'm liberated from my paper route. And that was produced a lot. I got my first motorcycle from that. I bore fruit. It was a little Kawasaki green 90, anyway. But then I was like, I liberated from my paper route. I got a new job, and it was a caddy at this golf club in Westford. And I waited all day long, and there's these older guys, and they were really, I don't know, intimidating. And then I went out, and I worked. I set my alarm. I hope I did. Yeah, we're okay. I'm just about done. Just about done. I was thinking maybe it didn't go off and it was 8:15 or something. Pastor Emmett and I have the same problem. Sorry, Pastor Emmett, but it's I have this caddy job, and I'm like, this is easy. They told me just carry the guy's stuff, you know. And so I did. And it was on wheels, and so I walked that around. And I guess I made some noise on the golf course when somebody was teeing off. I got in trouble for that. I did not understand golf, and I still don't, by the way. Sorry, you golfers. But and then at the end, I don't know what year this was. This was probably 78 or 70, something like that. And the guy gives me a buck. I was out there like all day long. I got a dollar for the day. That was the first job I ever quit. I quit. And it was the first job I ever quit. But you know what? I didn't understand the job. I didn't know what it was about. God's called us into his business, and he's given us plenty so that we can kind of be really, hey, he wants to use me. He wants to use me to win others to Christ. If I can't be out in the street and involved with people, he wants me to be praying, and he's going to use me in that way. His business is bringing others to Christ, and it becomes really clear. I just thought that was kind of unplanned, but he lets us know his business, and we get to be a part of it, and there's nothing more thrilling. I mean content-wise, because sometimes being in God's business is hard work, isn't it? You know, Richard Wurmbrand, you look at people that have been imprisoned for Christ, but there's nothing more fulfilling, and nothing will bring us more contentment than to be involved in the business of God, to understand the urgency that the night is far spent, the day is rapidly approaching when we're going to see our Master, Jesus Christ, and just to understand our stewardship, okay? Now I feel like I'm repeating myself, and so I'm going to shut down right now. So, God, we love you. We thank you that you've called us to this work, to this business. And, Lord, help us to, you know, just to number our days and order our steps, to take an inventory, to cast off the things that are not helpful, to understand and believe that you've called us to this industrious opportunity to serve in the things that matter, the things that you care about, things that you want to do, things that you want to accomplish. We thank you that you've used us, for each one here, that you've used us in the ways that you have. It's such grace and mercy. We're so humbled that you would choose us to be joint participants in your plan. So it's so humbling, and yet you do. And so we thank you, God, and bless each one here. I pray just for a blessing on each one's life, God, that you would let them know as never before that when they go home tonight and rest, they would just be consumed with the fact that you've included us in the business and in the work of God, and you want to use us, and you've given us tremendous purpose and tremendous significance as we realize these things. So let us realize it. And I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Bless the offering, too. We're going to have there's people online listening, and we take an offering online. And then, Rick, you have a basket back there. There's a basket. Again, the giving, this church has given like unbelievable. And so thank you. And I guess that is it. And you are dismissed. Good night.